Okay, today's blot is Daf Mem Hey. We're going to start with the Mishnah. Shlosh Shachu Kachas. We're going to learn the halachas of Zimun. That means that when a group of people get together to eat and they're going to say Birchas Hamazon, they have to make Zimun. Which we know, which we'll talk about the exact Nosach also. So the Mishnah teaches us Shlosh Shachu Kachas. If three people eat together, they have the obligation, besides to say Birchas Hamazon, they also have to be mezamen. Och, the mai, if they ate the mai. The mai is food, we know that grain and fruits that grow in Eretz Yisrael, you have to take off Trumas HaMaisris, Mrs. Atluyas Baretz. When somebody purchases such products from Am Haaretz, whose status of observance is unclear, he has to take off Trumas HaMaisris again. So the halacha is that even if you ate the mai, which means dom mai, what is this? U'maisrishin shenitlo trumasa. The halacha is that in the Jewish calendar, as far as mitzvahs atluyos baaretz, is divided into a 7-year cycle. During the first year, second year, fourth year, and fifth year, we take off truma every year. We take off maisrishin every year, which goes to a levi. Truma goes to the Kayan, and from the Maisrishin, the Levi has to take off 10% and give it to a Kayan. That's called Trumas Maiser. So if somebody ate Maisrishin, Shenitla Trumasa, that the Trumas Maiser was already separated, Maiser Sheni Vehegde Sheniftu. In this first, and the second, and the fourth, and fifth year, 10% of everything that's grown goes to, is Maiser Sheni, which has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. Unless somebody redeems it. Redeeming means paying the value plus a chaymish, which is 20-25%, or hegdish. If somebody is magdish something, a food item, you're not allowed to eat it. It doesn't belong to you. It belongs to hegdish. Unless it's a niftu, you redeem it. Or vashamish och kazayis. Shamish means the waiter. Somebody who's attending them at the meal. If he ate a kazayis, he could join in the group that's going to eat du zimun. Vakuti. A Kuti is a nation that originally came from Kuti. Sennacherib, when he was conquering the world, had a very interesting strategy. The strategy was that to take people and move them from their homes, because people feel more confident in their home, and he was concerned they would rebel against them. So he moved them, these Kutim, to Eretz Yisrael. They actually lived in the Shomron. And they, in Eretz Yisrael was fairly desolate at that time, and they therefore were scared about the animals who were roaming the country, and they became Gerim, they converted. And the question we have many times in Shas is, was their conversion real or not? So this Mishnah is considering them full-fledged Jews, and that's why Mezamnim Lov, he could join in the Zimun. However, Ochel Tevel, Tevel means food that the Trumas HaMaisris, the Mitzvahs HaTluyos, were not removed from. Or Maisrishin Shloim Nitl Trumasa, or Maisrishin that the Truma, the Trumas Maisa was not removed from, Maisrishin the Hegdish Shloim Nifted, the Maisrishin the Hegdish that were not properly redeemed, but Shamish Ochel Pachs Mekazayis, and a Shamish that ate less than a Kazayis, and it's really true possibly for anyone, but Nokri is a non-Jew, Amos Anmalov, they can't join in the Zima. Noshim Vavodim Ktanim, women, non-Jewish slaves or children under bar mitzvah or bas mitzvah, ein mezamnen lehem. Also, ein mezamnen lehem cannot join in the zimun. Ad kam the mezamnen, how long, how much does somebody have to eat to be joined in a zimun? Ad kazayis. He can eat up to a kazayis. If he ate a kazayis, he could be part of the zimun group. If you daima, it's a larger shear, it's ad kebeyim. So our Mishnah teaches us a very important halacha. The Mishnah teaches us that if somebody ate something not kosher, he can't be included in the Zimun. So if you're sitting at a table with other Jews, and you're eating, but they didn't eat something kosher, so they certainly can't join in the Zimun. I saw interesting Shaila, I didn't see an answer to the Shaila yet. What happens if they're eating everything kosher, but they didn't wash the Tila Shadayim? So they weren't supposed to eat the bread, because they didn't wash. Could you take such a person and let him join in the Zimun?
Are they chayav in Birchas Hamazon?
They're chayav in Birchas Hamazon, but Tevel also you're probably chayav in Birchas Hamazon. So that's one shaila. Now let's talk halach lemaisa. Where is it most relevant? You can have it in any workplace where there's a public dining room and people bring sandwiches. And one person's eating milchigs and one person's eating fleishigs. So even if you're eating in somebody's home and you want to eat a meat meal and somebody else wants to eat dairy, what's the halacha? So the halacha is like this. If you're eating in somebody else's home and you're eating what he gives you, even though you're eating milchigs and they're eating fleishigs or vice versa, you're really all being joined together by the balabayas and you can make a zimun together. Another halacha is that if you all ate bread without eating anything meat or dairy before you started eating the meat or dairy, that means you all had some bread, put bread on the table, and everybody first ate the bread, and then afterwards they started eating the milk and fleish sugar products, so you already had a chiv zimun at the beginning of the meal and you could continue the zimun even though afterwards you can't really join. I ate milk because you ate fleish sugar. But if you don't have any of those circumstances, I mean, simple situation. The person next to me is eating a meat sandwich and I'm eating a cheese sandwich. Can we join together for zimun? The halacha is that the person who ate the milchigs should lead the zimun. Because the person who eats milchigs, all he has to do is just rinse his mouth and he can eat fleishigs. The person who ate fleishigs has to wait. So since I could eat with him but he can't eat with me, so the halacha is that the person eating the milchigs should lead the zimun. Continues the Gemara, Menani Mili. So the Gemara's question, from where do we know, this is the way that Tzlach explains the Gemara, is not a question of how do we know the Chi of Zimun. Because we're going to learn later on that the Chi of Zimun is Midaraisa, possibly. Here do we know, the Gemara wants to know, there were three people you have to do Zimun. Of that, answers the Gemara, Amar Vasi, the Amar Kra, Gadlu Hashem Iti, Moshe, David HaMelech says to Klal Yisrael, you join with me in uplifting God. When the Rami Mishma Yachta, we will praise Hashem. Now, there's one speaker, and he's speaking Gadlu, Lashon Rabim. The minimum of a plural is two. So 1 + 2 = 3. So that's how we know you should have three people for a Zimun. Avu Amu Mahacha. Kishem Hashem Ekra. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I will call out Hashem's name, and you in response, Havu Goydel Elkeinu, will glorify Hashem's name. So it's again, Havu, Lashon Rabim, minimum 2, 2 plus 1 equals 3. Amar Rabbi Bachan, Abba, Menayin Lo'ina Amen. If you hear somebody say a bracha, it's important halacha. If you have a bat tefillah, or you have somebody making a bracha who doesn't speak very loud, how do you know that Menayin Amen Shleyag Bila Yoyse Kayel Menayin Lo'arach, that he shouldn't raise his voice higher than the person making the bracha? Shnema Gadol Hashem Iti. We should be together on one plane, on one standard, and that's takad halacha. Under normal circumstances, somebody should not speak louder than the amen louder than the mevarech. But the Mishnah Berurah says that if the person who's saying the amen feels he'll have more kavana by saying the amen louder, then he's allowed to say it louder than the person who is speaking.
That also amen during davening.
Amen for davening the same. Amrav Shimon Pazi, Menayin she'enem etagim Rishoy lag biya yoysim nakayra. The minig in those times was that the rabbi who was speaking, he didn't speak to the congregation. He spoke to a meturgman, and that meturgman then in turn said the speech over to the crowd. So how do we know she'enem etagim Rishoy lag biya yoysim nakayra? How do we know that the meturgman is not allowed to raise his voice higher than the actual speaker? So this is the way Tosfos explains the Gemara. Here we're talking about Kabbalah Satorah, Har Sinai. Moshe spoke, and Hashem spoke to him. Now, we know that the first two Dibrois, Anoichi Hashem Elkech V'Layilcha, we heard directly from Hashem. The rest of the Dibrois, we asked Hashem, we can't withstand it. Moshe Rabbeinu should present it to us. Now Moshe Rabbeinu speaking to Klal Yisrael, saying to Klal Yisrael Hashem's message. Moshe is speaking to us. While Kim Yanenu B'Kol, HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to him with his voice. So the question is, ain't Tamalan B'Kol? What else do you speak with? You always speak with your voice. Again, it's hard to say Hashem speaks with a voice, whatever that means. Omat Tamalan B'Kol. What is the pasuk teaching us B'Kol? B'Kol Yisrael Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's tone, his level of speaking, was the same level as Moshe Rabbeinu. So Tosfos explains the following. Hashem was only speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. So if I'm speaking just to the person standing next to me, I can speak fairly low, and he'll hear me. However, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking to 600,000 people, just men. And with the women and children, was even a larger group. So he obviously had to speak very high. Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu speak high? He was only speaking to Moshe. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was going to have to speak in a very high tone. And we have to have the speaker and the Meturgan should have the same tone. That's why he spoke higher. But there's a very interesting observation I want to make in this Gemara. We're used to thinking, we don't live in that world, we're used to thinking that why did they have a speaker at a Meturgamon? Because we didn't want to bother the speaker to have to speak loudly. From here you see that that's not the reason, because the speaker anyway has to speak loud. It must have been that sometimes the Rabbonim had what to say, but they didn't know how to say it over, whether they had a language problem or other problem, and for that they had the Meturgamon. Tanya Mihochi. The Metagon can't raise his voice higher than the speaker. What the Gemara is teaching us now is another lesson. Not only should this, the Meturgamon be at the same tone as the speaker, but the speaker should be at the same tone as the Meturgamon. So you have a Meturgamon that can't speak loud, you should be careful that the speaker shouldn't speak loud, because then they won't have the even tone. This halacha, just for the record, is the halacha from Omein, like we said before, but does not apply with Birkas Kohanim. It means when you have the Shliach Tzibur leading the tefillah and he says the words of the Birkas Kohanim, where Erev Yontif, and he says the words of the Birkas Kohanim, there is no halacha that the Shliach Tzibur and the Kohanim have to be on the same level. The only reason the Shliach Tzibur is saying the words is just to help the Kohanim prepare themselves. So the only thing that you have to do is that the Kohanim should have to hear, it doesn't have to be on the same level. Itmar. Shnaim shachu kachas. What's going to be the halacha if two people, not three people, ate together? Pligi Rav Rav Yochanan. There's machlokes Rav Rav Yochanan if you could do zimun or not. Charam and rotzel zamen mezamen. One man says if they want, they can. But charam and rotzel zamen ain't mezamen. And the other one says they can't. Tanan asked the Gemara. We just learned the Mishnah. The Mishnah says shloish shachu kachas. If three people ate together, chayovin lezamen. So what do we see? Shloish in shlaim loy. Dafka 3, not 2. And says the Gemara, Hossam Choyva. Amish is telling us that when three people eat together, they're obligated to do Zimun. Hocha, when the Manda Omru says that by two people you're allowed to do Zimun, it's Rishus. It's not saying you're obligated, but you're allowed to. Toshma says another Brisa. The Brisa says, Shloisha Shachul Ka'achas, if three people ate together, Chayovim Lazamein, they have to do Zimun, then Rishoyim Lachalik. And they can't divide, they can't separate. Again, shloish in, shnaim loy. Because what do we see? It has to be three. Because if two could do zimun, why are we so concerned about them separating? Let them separate. Even if one will walk away, the other two could still do zimun by themselves. If we're saying that we're so careful that they can't divide, why can't they separate themselves? Because they have to stay as a group of three, because anything less than a group of three will not have a chiyuv zimun. Answers the Gemara, Shani Hossam, the Chavaloi Chavam Mikorah. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. We have a concept, Bechol HaTorah Kula, of Godla Mitzvah Vaisa, Mimisha Ein Mitzvah Vaisa. Somebody who's obligated to do a mitzvah is certainly more than somebody who's doing a mitzvah voluntarily. Even if you'll hold that two people could do Zimun, it's a voluntary Zimun. Three people is an obligatory Zimun. So we start here with a situation that three people ate together. And that achiv, that obligation to do zimun, we won't let that fall down to a lower level of rishus, voluntary zimun. Toshma, hashamish shamish al shnayim. If you have a waiter who's attending two people, hareza oichlimon, he's allowed to eat with the two people. He could take a piece of bread off the table of the two guests. Abishloi nutn l'rishus, even though he didn't ask permission. Why? Because we're sure that they want him, they want to have Zimun. They're only two people, so we're sure that they're more than happy that he should eat a slice of bread or a piece of bread, and he could be able to fulfill the quorum, and they could have Zimun. However,
is it a Gezel Chosh Mishpah question?
It's a Chosh Mishpah
question. Rashi says Inkan Gaiva.
It's really probably both. I tell you what, why Rashi said it. I said it in the morning. It's Rashi saying it because let's say it's no Shiloh of Geneva. Let's say it's in a restaurant where you don't pay for the bread specifically. So there's no problem with Geneva. You, the guest, aren't paying for it. So maybe then what's the difference of two or three? That's why he says you should never take something without asking unless you're sure that the person will give you rishos. But if he's waiting on three people, so they have the opportunity to do Zimun even without him. He's not allowed to eat with them unless they gave him express permission. So what do we see? We see that two people couldn't have done Zimun, and that's why the waiter could eat, so he could automatically join them. But if you could do Zimun with two, why do you need him to eat? Just do the Zimun with two. Answers the Gemara, a similar concept to what we just learned. Shani Hassam, the Nichlei, the Mitzvah B'Chayva. The people, even if they could do Zimun with two, even if you hold that Zimun is permittable with two, it's certainly only a voluntary Zimun, which we just explained is not as Choshev as a obligatory Zimun. And these people would like to do the real thing, the Zimun with three. Toshma, there's a Brice that says, Noshim Azamnus Latzmam, women who eat as a group can do Zimun themselves. Vavodim, non-Jewish slaves, Mizamnus Latzman. However, Noshim Avodim, Akhtanim, if you have a group of women, slaves, and minors, Imrotzul Zamun, Emzamun, they can't make Zimun. We'll explain in a minute why. Now, the Gemara explains like this. Vamei Noshi, Ketrei Gavri Dami. So the way Tosfos explains is as follows. Women don't have an obligation to do Zimun. So if you have three women, or 100 women even, that's not in halacha considered more than having two women, because nobody had a havamina that a woman has a chiv to do zimun. Women may do zimun, v'ktani, and yet we learned nosh mezamun slatzman. They can do zimun, so we see you could do zimun with two. Similarly, v'avodim mezamun slatzman. Answers the Gemara, even though on a halachic basis you could argue that 100 women and two men are the same, because they both don't have an obligation to do Zimun, because the only time you have an obligation to do Zimun is by three, but you still have 100 women, and you still have two men. So you have Shani Hossam, the Ikadeis. You have enough people. Here, when you have two men, you only have two, and you also only have two. So that's why two men may be less than 100 women. Ask the Gemara, and the way Tosfos explains, this question could have been asked independent of the Gemara we're learning now. It says, if they want to be examined together, they may not. Why not? You have the proper amount of people. You could have a very large group of men, of slaves and women. And it says, the reason we don't let them do Zima together is because it could come to a moral situation, an inappropriate situation, so we just stay away. Halach l'mais about women and Zimun. Our minig is that women don't make their own Zimun. Tosha discusses it, and our minig is that women don't make their own Zimun. But our minig is very much that when we have a Zimun, when we have three men, that women must answer for the Zimun. We have to give them the opportunity to answer for the Zimun. And that is a very interesting question. Sometimes you'll have a situation that you'll have people eating, you have a group of men eating at a table Friday night, let's say, and they go after the meal to somewhere else for Sheva Brachas. And the man, the husband is going, not the wife, and his wife loses out to Zimun. Because if he was home, he would have to have Zimun. But and she would be able to answer. By him leaving the house, she loses her opportunity for Zimun. Or if he goes to a tish. Or you have this by Shal Shudas. Let's say a lot of people, especially in the summer, they don't eat Shalosh Shudas in shul, but they bench in shul with a minyan. So they start off at home, they eat the meal at home. When they wash and they start the meal, they have in mind that they'll bench in shul, and you can have a group of men at home, and then they go to shul for Shalosh Shudas, and they bench in shul, and they'll have Zimun in shul, but their wives lost the opportunity for Zimun. So the Shevet HaLevi, Rav Ozner, asked this question. He doesn't have a simple answer. The only answer he says is as follows, which the Bach, he says that the Chi of Zimun doesn't come at the beginning of the meal. The Chi of Zimun comes at the end of the meal. When you finish eating, then you have to do Zimun. Now, what is usually the minute when you go to a meal, when you go to the Shal Shudas and Shul? You usually eat a piece of Chal and Shul. So that means you didn't finish your meal at home, you finished your meal and Shul. When the Chi of Zimun, so there was never a Chi of Zimun. It's not that there was a Chi of Zimun at home, and then you took that Chi of away from your wife. The Chiv Zimun never came, because the Chiv Zimun only comes when you finish the meal, and you only finish the meal in the shul or by the tish or whatever.
But you still took away the opportunity.
The opportunity took away, but the shail is, the opportunity certainly took away, but the question is, halachically, is there a basis for it? So we started the Gemara that there was Machloikas Rav and Rav Yochanan. One Mandama said that two people can do a non-obligatory Zimun. One Mandama said two people cannot. One man was Rav, one was Rabbi Yochanan. We didn't know who was who. So now Gemara says, "Tas time, I'll try to bring you a proof." The Rav, the Omen Rotsul Zamanim Zamanim. The Rav is the man, the Omen that holds that two people may not do Zimun under any circumstances. Dom Rav Dimi by Yosef Omer Rav Shloish Shachul Kachas. If two people, if three people ate as a group, Yotzeh Achel Milshok, and one of them walks out of the table, Koyren Loi Mezamnulov. You could call him. And even though he's not sitting with us anymore, he's outside the room. We'll see in the Gemara on the bottom of the Amid. As long as he hears us and can answer, he could still join in the Zimun. But what do we see? Tam the Karmeloi, that we have the third individual room. Haloi Karmeloi, but if he can't join us, Loi, there's no more opportunity for Zimun. But why is there no longer an opportunity for Zimun? We still have two people. And says the Gemara, Shani Hasim, Dikvul Abichayv Mekara. Here we start off with obligation, with a Chiv de Gezimun, an obligatory Zimun. We have three people. Now, even if we'll do Zimun, you'll only have a non-obligatory Zimun, and like we explained a few times, that is certainly not the same status. Ella, so the Gemara says, Tastayim de Rabbi Yochanan do Amr, Emrat Lazamna Eim Zamna. I'll bring you a proof that Rabbi Yochanan is the Mandam that says that two people can't do Zimun. Domer Rabbi Babachana, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, Shloi Shishachul Ka'achas, if you have two people eating together, one could be mighty the other person with the bracha. And the question is, what is he teaching us? Tanina, it's a Mishnah that we all know, which is the concept of Shemei Kaina. I can hear you say a bracha and I'll be yotza. Shama v'layana, yotza. That if I hear you make a bracha, I even though I don't say anything, I'm yotza. So what's he teaching us more? What he's teaching us is that even though that they can make Zimun, because there's no proper amount, there's only two people, I can still be yotze with your bracha. So we see that by two people there's no Zimun. This time it's a proof. So Rav Rav Huna said to Rav Huna, Verabonim, the Osman Rava, the Rabbonim that came from Eretz Yisrael said, Imrotzul Zamnin, Mizamnin, that if two people want to do Zimun, they may. Now who was the prominent Talmud Chochem in Eretz Yisrael? Rabbi Yochanan. So my laugh, if they're coming and reporting that they heard something in Eretz Yisrael, who must they have heard it from? The Shmuelim and Rabbi Yochanan. So you see that Rabbi Yochanan is the man, the Omer, that holds that two people can have Zimun. Says the Merloi, the Shmuelim and Rav, Mekam de Nachsil Bavel. Rav originally lived in Eretz Yisrael. They heard it from Rav before Rav moved to Bavel. So it was never Rabbi Yochanan's limud, it was Rav's. Gufa. Om Rav Dimi Bar Yosef Om Rav. Shloish Shachul Ka'achatz. If you have a group of three people eating together, V'yotzul Echad Melashuk, and one of them goes out, Chayr Loi Mezan Loi. You could call him and he could join in the Zima. Om Rabaya, V'hu the Karlev Oni. But he has to be in such close proximity that he can hear you and join. Just because he's in the other room, that's not good enough. Om Mazutra, continues the Mazutra, V'loi Amorin El B'shloish. When was this halacha said with three people? That if I started eating together three people and one walked out, as long as he's close enough that he can hear me and answer me, it's good enough. Abba Sara, we know and we'll learn that when you have 10 people eating together, the Zimun you could mention, Nevarach Lelokeinu, he mentions Hashem's name, Adonaisi. All 10 people have to be sitting there in order to be saying Zimun. And if just because if one walks out, even if he's fairly close, you can't say Hashem's name. Asked the Gemara, Maskula Ravashi, so Ravashi asked, Adarabba, Ifcha Mistabra. If you think about it, it makes sense just the opposite. Tisha Nirkasara. If you have 10 people, and even one walked out, you have 9 people left. So it does, to tell the difference between 9 people and 10 people is very difficult. So it looks like you have 10 people, and the 10th one is fairly close. But have a Shnayim, a Nirkashloisha. If you started only with 3 people, and one walked away, so you lost 33%. So it's very noticeable. So if anything, if you're going to say walking away is not a problem, by 10 it shouldn't be a problem. By 3 it should be a problem. However, the halacha isn't like Mazutra. My tama, Kivin the boy let guru shem shemayim. Since we want to mention Hashem's name, because you have 10 people, batsim asara, when you have less 10 people, lav arich ara. You can't say Hashem's name, no matter what. Doesn't make a difference what it looks like. And what's the reason? Because of the chshivas of Hashem's name. Zimun is not the same. Zimun is a halachim birchas amozim. Shem Hashem is like a minion. You have to have a minion. Omer Mabayu. So Abayu tells us another halacha. Naktinan. Shnayim sh'ochu ka'achas. If two people eat together, mitzvah l'cholim. So Rashi says it's talking about all brachas. And that the minig is that everybody should make their own bracha. That by birchas hamit, by birchas hanenin, we always try to make our own bracha. Bracha rishayin and bracha achroin. Tanya nami hochi. Shnayim sh'ochu ka'achas. If two people, if you only have two people, mitzvah l'cholik. However, says the Gemara, v'medvam amurim kishnayim soifrim, that both people are able to say the bracha. So both are able to say the bracha, and you have that such few people, you should say the bracha. Aval echad soifer v'echad bor, if you have one person who can say bracha and one person who unfortunately can't, soifer mevarech, the one that can should say the bracha, and bor, the other person yoytze, should listen and be yoytze. And that's the halacha. The halacha is that we always make brachas for ourselves. The only exception to the rule, and that's also Tali B'minig, is Kiddush Friday night and Amoitzi Friday night. That the Mishnah Brewer says that one person should make the Kiddush and Amoitzi for the whole group. In other communities, the custom is that everybody makes their own Kiddush and their own Hamoitzi. But Moitzi, there's another short question. What is more of a reason that one person should make the Moitzi? Because on Shabbos, we spoke about it, there's the Inyan of Lecha Mishnah. So only usually the head of the household has Lecha Mishnah, but everybody at the table has a chiv of Lecha Mishnah. So if everybody's going to be yoytzi with his bracha of hamoytzi, so then you'll be all yoytzi in Lecha Mishnah. But if you're going to make your own hamoytzi, you may not be yoytzi the chiv of Lecha Mishnah. This is when you have less than three people. How about when you have three people? So if you're learning the Gemara and you look in Shulchan Aruch, it says by three people the mezamein, besides leading the zimun, should say the entire benching word for word, loud, and shemei kaina, the rest of the group should hear. But the Mishnah Brewer already says that we don't do that, because since our power of concentration is somewhat weak, we're concerned that you're not going to pay attention properly to the mezamin saying the whole Birch Samazin, and that's why we're knowing that even when you're in a situation of three people or more, everybody says their own Birch Samazin. However, the halach is, because of this Gemara still, that the person leading the benching, he should say the first bracha loud, you should say it along with him, and when you get to the end of the bracha, the Mishnah Brewer says, get a little ahead of him, so you should be able to say amen before he ends, by the time he ends the bracha, because you have finished the bracha before. Amar Rav. So Rava says, Ham milsa amrita ano, I said this following limud, and I also heard the Rav Zera says the same thing. If three people are eating together, the halacha is echad mafsek l'shnayim. So two people want to go, and one still eating. So the halacha is that one person has to stop to eat in order to let the other people be able to make zimun. However, v'ein shnayim mafsekim l'echad. But if two don't want to finish eating and one does, they don't have to stop for him. Ask the Gemara Loi, Rapapa Ipsikle Abamar Berei, and he did stop. And says the Gemara, Rabbi Iu Vachad, so it was two people that one person, two people stopped for one. And says the Gemara, Shani Rapapa Dulfinim Shuras Adidavid. That means he didn't really have to stop for them, because two people don't have to stop for one. But he wanted to be nice. This person wanted to leave, so he said, okay, I'll stop my meal, I'll give you a chance to do the Zimun, and then afterwards I'll continue my meal.
According to the other one, the first day report, the Chiv Zimun is at the end of the meal, this guy's still eating.
Is there a riot that he continues the meal afterwards?
Yes, you'll see. Says the Gemara, Yehuda Bam Reima, Omab Rav Ashi, Barachim Adifti, Kochi Rifta Bahada Adadi. So before we go further, just let's say Aloch Lamaisa. Aloch Lamaisa, this is Aloch Lamaisa. If you have a group of three and two people want to stop the meal, the third person has to agree, and he doesn't have to stop eating. He could just stop till they say the zimun and the first bracha, answer amen, and then he could continue eating. Not only could he continue eating, the halacha is he could then join with another zimun. He could, if two more people come to the table, he could join with them. Two people, however, do not have to stop for one. If one person wants to stop and the other two don't, they don't have to. And pi halacha, that person has to sit there and wait until they're ready to bench. But there are two things. Number one, we just learned in the Gemara, the right thing is to be a mensch. And if a person, if you're in a rush, even though you're only one and they're two, they should do the nice thing and let you bench, so you should have the zimun. And the other halacha is that if you have a very valid reason to leave, and they're not cooperating, that they don't want to bench, you're allowed to bench on your own, Mishnah Berurah says. Says the Gemara, Yehuda ben Maraima, Maber Ravashi, Rav Achim Adifta, Kach Rifta Bahadadi. These three people who ate bread together. Now, before we go into this Gemara, there was a very fundamental question. What is the reason for Zeman? Is the reason for Zeman is when you have a group, that one group should bench together? Or is the reason for group because we want to have one person lead the benching? And here we had a situation. There was no one person who was greater than the other ones. They were all of equal stature. So they had the following question. This that we just learned in our Mishnah, that when you have a group of three, we do Zimin. Doesn't mean because you have a very prestigious person and we want him to lead the benching. If we're all the same stature, Chilik Brachas Adif, is it better that each one should make his own bracha? So the Gemara says, Baruch Inish L'Nafshei. What they did decided was that everybody should make their own bracha. There was no zimun. Asla kamei de mereima, and they came to mereima. Amlei yidei bracha yitzasim. You have done birchas hamazon properly. However, yidei zimun lo yitzasim. You lost the opportunity to do zimun, and you should have done zimun because zimun has nothing to do with somebody being greater making a bracha on behalf of the group. Zimun is a zimun when you have three people. The chi timer now you'll say in the head of a zimun. So we'll do zimun now. So the Gemara says, "Ein zimun mafreya." After you say birchas hamazon, you can't do zimun. But what does that mean? What that means is like this. Let's go back to the story we spoke about before. Let's say we have three people eating together, and one of them is in a rush, and he doesn't wait for the other two, whether he was right or wrong. He doesn't wait, and he says birchas hamazon, and then they're ready to bench, and they want to say zimun. Could he answer? The answer is he can. Even though he benched, he could answer the zimun. He could answer and they'll be Mekayim the Mitzvah Zimun. But he, even though he answered, will not be Mekayim the Mitzvah Zimun. Why? Since he benched already, it's too late. Another Shiloh, very frequent Shiloh. Bar Matan Kshem of Archim. If you find a group that's in the middle of saying Zimun when you come in, and you didn't eat, you just happen to come in when they're about to say it. Mal Oimechrim, what do you say? Razvid Oimer, you say Baruch Mavaruch. And Rav Papa Oma Oina Amen. The Papa says you say Amen. Says the Gemara, but I plead, there's really no disagreement. If I walked in after they said the Varech, Shechal Mishalai, so Taisa says in this Dalacha, what should I say? Baruch Hu Mavarech Shmoy Tamid Loyal and Voil. And you have a minion, you should say, Baruch Hu Elokeinu Mavarech Shmoy Tamid Loyal and Voil. If you already find him at the end of the Zimun, so you can't say this, all you do is say, Amen. You only say Amen. And that's the halacha. But the halacha is also, if you don't eat, you can't say Baruch Shalchanu, because you didn't eat. But what happens if I was sitting by a table, and I only drank? So I can't be considered one of the people for the three, for Zimun. But when it comes to answer, I can't say Baruch Shalchanu, because since I did drink, and certainly if I ate even something, I could say Baruch Shalchanu.
What's the qualification to be part of the three then?
That's going to be next year. Tani Chada. We learned in one brisa, Ha'ayna Amen Acher Bechaysof. If somebody says Amen after his own bracha, Hareza Meshubach. It's fine. The Tani Yidach, Hareza Megunach. That's not nice to answer Amen after your own bracha. So, what is it? It's the Gemara like Kasha. Ha'ayna Bar Yerushalayim. After saying Bar Yerushalayim, we do say Amen. Ha'bashah Brachas. The other brachas, we don't. Why do we say Amen after Bar Yerushalayim? So Rashi says the reason is every time you finish a series of brachas, to show that you finish that series, you say Amen. So since Bar Yerushalayim is the end of the brachas, the Muslim that are the Raisa, you say Amen. And that's what Rashi says, and that's the minig for the Svardim, after Yishtabach, which represents the end of Psukah de Zimra, you say Amen. After Ashkivenu, at night, which represents the Birchas Krishma of Meiriv, you say Amen. And in fact, we spoke here, Shaila, about Gol Yisrael. That if you, what you're supposed to do after you say Gol Yisrael, if the Amen is a Hefzik, he's supposed to say Simach Gula Tefillah. So one of those Paiskim I saw said you could say your own Amen after the Gol Yisrael. Because it could be after Gol Yisrael, anyway, you have to say Amen, because it's the end of a series of brachas. It's the brachas Krishma. However, our minig, the Ramah says, our minig is that we don't say Amen after any of our own brachas besides Bani Rishlaim. Abaya Anale B'Koyla, Abaya used to say it loud. Kehecha Delishma Poylam, the workers who work by the hour used to say a very abridged version of benching, because time is money, and their time is not their money, it's their boss's money. So V'Lekaymu, because they, as soon as they heard him say Bani Rishlaim, they said the Amen, they got up. That Taiva Meitiv Lav Deraisa, because they didn't say the brach of Taiva Meitiv, because Taiva Meitiv is no chi of Deraisa. So workers should not, did not, in those days, we learned the Gemara, what circumstances didn't say it. Ravashi on a label of Chisha, Ravashi on the contrary, said it low, Kehech de Loi Nilzul by Taiva Meitiv, by saying Amen after Bani Rishlaim, we're publicly announcing that the rest is, that the rest is not the same as the previous, and we don't want to publicly abused the Taiva Meitiv, so he said it low. So I want to tell you two halakas that, that I saw from this Gemara. One is like this. What happens, it's a very frequent shayla, it's a shayla halakha l'maisa. I'm benching. I'm not benching out loud. I'm benching low. Well, that's the right thing or wrong thing. And somebody calls out to me, wants me to respond to him. So I can't speak out because I'm in the middle of benching. So how do I want him to know that I'm benching? I say where I'm up to in Birchas Hamazon, and I say out loud. Are you allowed to do that or not? From Harry and Al-Gamari, it seems they could use Birchas Hamazon saying it out loud as a simon that where you're up to, and it's not considered embarrassing the benching, and you're allowed to do it. We also learned in Al-Gamari that a'ona amen achar b'chaysov, if somebody says amen after his own brachas, harei zeh meguna, that's very not nice. So there's a so the shaila is like this. Let's say you make a hamotzi. Take a piece of bread and you make a hamotzi. You're not allowed to be mafsik between the bracha and the eating. So if you would say an amen after your own bracha, it may be a hefsik, and probably you would have to say the bracha again. But that doesn't happen, because we all know not to say amen after our own brachas. Where could the shayla be? By a bal kairi. The bali kairi are used to saying amen when they start the alaining. But what happens if the bal kairi got his own aliyah, and instead of just starting to lane, he said amen? Is it a hefsik? And he has to repeat the Amen or not. And he has to repeat the Bracha or not. Again, it's a shayla I saw in the Shevet HaLevi, and the answer is very interesting. He says, the Amen that Bal Kaira says at the beginning of Leini has a dual purpose. One purpose is to answer the Amen after the Bracha. Another purpose is to let the congregation know that we're going to start Leini, and if you're talking, Chas V'Shalom, you should stop. So that purpose is accomplished. So that's why the Amen, even that you say after your own bracha, is not considered a hefsik, and he doesn't have to repeat the bracha.